Welcome to Life Source Church. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud. Today you're going to hear a message from Pastor Walt that we hope encourages you.
Well, good morning. I have a quiz for you today. Sharpen your, get the brain rolling here. These names, Moses, David, Elijah, Peter, Paul. Bible characters, right? Let me say them again. Okay, Moses, Elijah, Moses, David, Elijah, Peter, and Paul. What do they have in common? They're all humans, I know. Yeah, they are men. That's not on purpose.
Leaders,
okay, good.
They're in the Bible.
Come on, Dave, help me out here. I'm walking to this side now. What? What else?
Men of faith.
They were what?
Men of faith.
Men of faith, yeah, good. What else?
Filled with the Spirit.
All right, good. Let me tell you something else. Let me do this, actually. Let's add our name to the list, your own name, okay? So just, what's that? Okay, yep, they are. All these are good and right answers. At some point in their lives, they all really messed up. Messed up badly. And that's why I said we could put our name at the end of the list, couldn't we? All right, now, so this says up here, but text your questions too. This phone number will not be on all the slides today, but let me encourage you. You know, you get this number down. Go ahead and take it in your phone if you want right now, so you can ask questions during the sermon or after, and we'll try to get those answered for you, okay? All right, so yes, they all messed up. And like I said, we do too. You know, if it depends how long you've been alive. But the longer you're alive, you should be able to look at your life most likely and remember a time when if you think about it now, you go, anybody else besides me have that? Where you really messed up. And when you mess up this, it could be a relatively small thing. It could be something you've messed up and nobody else but God and you knows. That could be the case. But very often in our lives, when we mess up, it doesn't just affect us. It affects somebody else in our lives and maybe lots of somebody else's in our lives. It might affect relationships, it affects our finances, could even affect our health, depending, when we've messed up. And sometimes we feel like we're stuck with those consequences, right? And sometimes people, they've messed up enough and often enough and start to pile it deeper and higher until they give up. And some people give up by just checking out in life and just they're just surviving. Some people get to the point where they check out in life because they take their own life. And so we need to know how to deal with this issue. And so the sermon series, we're calling it Growing Forward with God in the Circumstances of Life, the circumstances of your life. And it's not just going forward, because everybody does that. Some way or another, you go forward. But let's turn this around. Let's grow as we go forward with this. And so today, we're going to focus in on the circumstance of life is when you've messed up. And I don't mean just little things, you know. I mean the things that really deep inside of us affect us, or it's out here in our lives and it's affecting so many things, and we don't know how to go forward, to grow forward with the Lord. So we're going to look to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is an Old Testament prophet, and he was prophesying that during the time that the Babylonian captivity was occurring. You say, well, Babylonian captivity, what in the world is that? Well, God's people, Israel, were not living the way God said they should live. They were sinning. They were involved in idolatry. They weren't following the moral guidance, the moral instructions, I should say, that God had given them in the law. They were not living at all the way they were supposed to. God warned them and warned them and warned them and warned them and warned them until finally he said, okay, you know, as God does, because he loves us and cares about us, he lets the consequences of our choices come home to roost. And this is what he did with them. And he did not protect them from the empire of Babylon, who was conquering a lot of places in the world. And he didn't protect them from that. And he allowed them to come and to defeat Israel and to take people away captive. And they did this over about a 20-year period. Three major times they took a bunch of people from Israel and took them, moved them to Babylon. And they are now living in a foreign country. They took away everything that they had and they brought them there. And now, how are they going to even live? They're living amongst people that they would consider to be their enemies. They messed up badly, and the consequences were huge. But there are some lessons here that we can take from what they learned that will enable us to grow forward when we've messed up badly. So let's look here. Jeremiah chapter 29, that's page 905 in the Bible that's in the chairs there. And so Jeremiah here is writing a letter to, about in the middle of this 20-year period, he's writing a letter to God's people who have been taken away captive. They are in this land, and they don't know what to think. They don't know what to expect. They don't know how do we go forward. What's happening? Has God abandoned us completely? And if he had, maybe he had good reason. All of that kind of thinking. So Jeremiah writes them a letter. And he includes the things here that we're going to look at today. So in verse 4, it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon." So God is behind this. He stopped protecting them. He allowed Babylon to come and do this. So he allowed this to happen in their lives because of the people's own choices. Now, the first two things we're going to look at today are not directly stated in this verse, okay? But they are biblical throughout. We could look many, many places in Scripture and see them. So how are we going to grow forward? Well, the first thing is you have to acknowledge the truth about what you've done. You have to, go ahead and go to that slide, Sergey. You have to acknowledge the truth about what you've done. And you know, this can be really hard. I mean, when we go back in the Bible and look at the very first sin that was ever committed, Adam and Eve, right? Choosing to disobey God. All right? And when God brought that up to them, they said, you know, they confronted them, what's going on? What did they do? Somebody remembers. Who responded first? I don't remember. Doesn't matter. I think it was, whatever the point is when God said, "Did you disobey me? Did you eat that fruit that you weren't supposed to eat, that I told you not to eat? Did you do that?" And I think it was Adam speaks first to his.
"She made me do it."
Exactly. He points at Eve, right? And he points at God too. Now listen very carefully, because he says, "The woman that you gave me, she gave to me and I ate. It wasn't really all my fault." And the woman goes, "The serpent deceived me. At least she told the truth." But it was still her action, and she's pointing to us. And this is our natural tendency, isn't it? Oh man, I got a great video I should to bring to you. Where my grandkids, my two of my oldest young lady girl grandkids. I don't know how to say that. Anyway, the oldest is 15 now, and the next one's 14. So, but they were like little, like 3 and 2 or whatever, and they got into mom's makeup. And I think the oldest one led the youngest one, or younger one. And they had makeup, you know how it works, right? Black and lipstick and all this kind of stuff. And then the youngest one had even more because I think the oldest one helped. And mom comes and finds him, and she put it on the phone, turned her phone on, got it on camera, but she asked him, "Did you get into mommy's makeup?" And so the oldest one, she goes, "No." I forget some other question, but then she said, "Never." And they asked the youngest one, and she just, she said, "Rachel did." Anyway, you get the idea. This is a very natural tendency for us as human beings. When we have done something that we ought not do, we've disobeyed God, we've done something really stupid or foolish, why is that? Why do we tend to say, well, it's really not my fault? It's because owning up to it's kind of painful, isn't it? And owning up to it means there may be consequences that I have to pay. But if we don't own up to it, we can't ever start growing and growing forward with the Lord. We have to acknowledge the truth about it. The idea here is you have to stop the bleeding. As long as you are not acknowledging the truth in a sort of a metaphorical way, you are bleeding. And we all know that if you get injured and you bleed, the longer you bleed, the harder it is to recover, right? Maybe to the point where you don't recover. And so when we acknowledge the truth, we are stopping the bleeding, okay? And so it is crucial that we do this. In our legal system, we call it someone confesses, right? They confess to what they've done. But the word confess, we can, you know, think it just means something like that in the legal system or saying something to God. But confess, the word really means literally to say the same thing as. To say the same thing as. And so when we confess that we have done wrong, we acknowledge that we've done wrong, we're saying what? The same thing that God says about it. God says this is wrong. I agree. It is wrong. I acknowledge that it is wrong. Now, so this is not pleasant, but the idea is you have to, the phrase we've heard, you have to take ownership, right? You have to own this. I'm the one who did this. And it's not, it's not a pleasant thing. Years ago, it's at least 20 years ago, maybe longer. I can't remember for sure. But Glenda and I, like all of us who are married couples, we have times when it's hard, right? You're trying to communicate and everything each other says, it becomes, you guys know what I'm talking about? It's whatever. That's a good way to say it. You start a conversation, it goes, but she had a real moment of insight, and she said, well, you know, when you talk to me, like when we deal with stuff, here's how I feel that you're treating me. And I'm not going to tell you what it was, okay? But she said, and I said, no way. I am not doing that. And I didn't believe I was. I'm not doing it. And I don't remember how long it was, a few weeks maybe. Just we're trying to work through this stuff. And the Lord, somehow or other, just really got a hold of my heart. And all of a sudden, I saw it. She was right. I was treating her that way. And I was devastated. Because, I'm not doing that. And then to see that I was. And it wasn't a nice thing. It wasn't a good thing. And it just crushed me. I remember crying, and I think I went home crying. And I admitted it. I acknowledged the truthfulness of it. And I asked her forgiveness for it. And it enabled us to grow forward. But I had to acknowledge the truth. As long as we keep saying, no, it's really not my fault. Or, and we can do that by just being in denial, right? Or we can actively push back on it. We can't afford to do that. And so this idea of acknowledging the truth of what you've done, you need to take ownership with it, but start with God. God. You already know all this, but I did this. I've done this. I know it's not right. I've made a terrible mess of things because of my sinful choices. Start with God. And then, if you're able, because sometimes the messes are such that you don't have the opportunity to do this, but if you're able, you have the opportunity, you could admit that to other people who have been involved and who have been hurt by your choices. And ask them to forgive you. Now, they may not do it. They may not be up to it. They aren't ready, right? Emotionally, they aren't ready or whatever. That's okay. This is the whole thing we want to start to understand. It's, why would you ask them for forgiveness first and foremost. For their sake? No, because God wants you to do it. And we have to start doing that. On him, here's my responsibility. By the way, I'll just throw this in here as a little parenthesis on the sermon, okay? In your marriages, or any other close relationship, really. But the idea is, you know, you have to understand what is my responsibility, not what's her responsibility, not what his responsibility. I don't have to own Glenda's responsibility. It's not my job. God has not given me the responsibility to make sure she does what's right. He hasn't. Who has he talked to?
Me.
Okay, well, here you are. You're the husband. Here's what you're supposed to do. But, and we're back in Eden. I know, but. It's what's my responsibility in this? Okay? All right. And let's look in also in verse 4 here. Like I said, it's not actually stated here, but it's true biblically throughout. Second thing is fix the consequences as much as possible. Fix the consequences as much as is possible. Okay? If you have hurt somebody in some way or done damage to people's lives in some way, maybe it's in a relationship. And so if you can take seriously trying to fix that relationship, figuring out what's my responsibility and doing it, okay, do it if you can. Sometimes it's, like I said, it's out of your control. Money. You know, maybe you've cost somebody some money. Maybe you've stolen money or whatever, right? And if you can pay it back, do so. If you can't pay it back yet, purpose to do so. You want to try to make this right. You want to fix what you've done as much as it is in your power to do. Other damages, if you can fix. The Bible talks about this. It's restitution. If you cost them $100, give them back $110. I mean, just to show that you're genuine in your heart. And then here's the follow-up to this. You need to accept the rest of the things as being from the Lord. The consequences you can't fix. You aren't able to fix it. You got to live with it. And you can go, oh, this is terrible, and oh, I hate this, and be motivated. You know, it's going to sidetrack you and all this kind of stuff. Or you can say, okay, Lord, this is from you. You have allowed this to remain. You know my heart. I'm acknowledging the truth. I want to grow forward here. I've tried to fix it. I can't fix this one, Lord. And the Lord says, yeah, I know. I've allowed it to remain in your life. And we do kind of see this in the verse because they find themselves in captivity, and then God makes it really clear. He says, which I have caused to be carried away. The fact that they were still in Babylon, right? Well, we acknowledge our sin. We acknowledge it. Can we go back home now? And God says, no. Don't just stay here. You're going to stay here. This is from me. And I think we'll see that more as we go on. All right, so we've acknowledged the truth about what we've done. We fixed the consequences as much as we could. And now this comes down to the very first thing that we say about the Christian life around here. And that's that we what? Can you read the top one up there with me out loud? Ready? We surrender to the Lord. It's crucial. You have to do that. And so these things that he's allowed to remain that now I have to deal with, maybe for a long time, he's left it in my life. Okay. He has a purpose in that. I'm not going to fight against it and be mad about it. All right. Verses 5 and 6. He gives them some instructions now. He says, build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. That you might be increased there. And so here's the thought for us. Starting from where you are, live the way God says to live. Okay? So here we are. We are acknowledging the truth. We tried to fix the consequences, and now some of the consequences for them is that they're stuck in captivity. They're not going home now. He says, okay, so this is my situation. Starting from where I am with all these circumstances, now I'm going to live the way God says to live in these circumstances. Remember, it's from the Lord, right? Have we settled that? We got to settle it is from the Lord. Okay, so I'm going to now live the way God says I should live. Okay, from here, starting from here. By the way, where else could you start from? This is brilliantly deep. You are where you are. Is that true? Are you are where you are right now?
Yes.
Okay, so I want you to start from someplace else. You got to start what? Where you are. Okay? And that's the place to start living the way God says to live. Most likely, if not 100%, you got in your mess because you didn't live the way God tells us to live. And so if you don't solve it by continuing to do your own thing, you don't solve it by saying, well, I know God says this, but I think, oh, man. How big you want your mess to get? Right? How many more things do you want to look back on a life and go, cringe about? Don't do it. Start living the way God wants you to live. You see, and we're going to see in a little bit, but well, before I say that, you know, you may never get back to where you were. Just let me break it to you. You may never. Some of these people that are in captivity here, they're never going back. But here's the truth. The truth that you need to take into your heart and ponder. You may never get back to where you were, but you can start from where you are now and end up in a better place. That makes sense? Okay. But it's essential that you keep working. And by the way, you're not going to get this perfect. No perfect humans allowed, except for Jesus. Okay. You're not going to get perfect, but it's consistent. It's real. It's sincere. I'm really trying to live the way God wants me to live. And where do we learn how that is? Okay, so we got to learn from the Bible how he wants us to live. But you, and take hope, really, you can end up in a much better place. And the good thing about the way the Lord works in our lives, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, if you know it by memory, say it with me, okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. That's right. So here's the idea. We're going through life. And God has a plan for us, and we're living the way we think God wants us to live, doing the best we can, and we come along here, and then we do, for whatever reason, whatever happens, we're hurt, something else going on, and we just really stupid and sinful choices, and we create a huge mess, okay? And rather than being here, we find ourselves way over here. Well, how can I do this? Well, if you will acknowledge your choices, take responsibility, own them, fix whatever you can, and then from here, start doing what God says. And I may never end up exactly there anymore. I don't know if I can even get back here. But God may say, okay, come on over here. I'm living the way he says, right? And I'm now he's still working in my life. He has a plan. God is, you think about this. Is God controlled by our choices?
No.
No. So we make bad choices, and we have consequences because of it. But if we'll humble ourselves before God and go forward, he can then take us, and he has a plan from here. He's got a plan from here. See what I mean? He had a plan from there. Now he has a plan from here. And we can go forward, and we can end up in a much better place. God blesses us in our lives when we live the way that he wants us to live. You know, a lot of us, if we were to go around here today, because I know a lot of your stories, I don't know them all, but if we were going around here today, and I could ask you, have you ever really made a big mess in your life? An awful lot of you say, yeah. And I say, okay, Have you been trying to live the way God wants you to live over the last 20 years or whatever it is, right? And you say, yeah. So are you in a better place now? Yeah. God is so good to us.
Amen.
So gracious. But we have to say yes. We got to surrender. We got to start there, and then we can grow forward in that. And the scripture, you know, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Go ahead, Sergey. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man, for whatever a woman sows, that he will also reap. That she will reap. Now, probably in the earliest years of my Christian faith, maybe the first 10, 20 years, I don't know, I probably heard a number of sermons on this verse. And it's always, you're going to reap what you sow. Is it true?
Yes.
It absolutely is true. And we got to learn that lesson. But this passage of Scripture, if we look at it, Paul says, don't be weary in doing good. Don't be weary in well-doing. Because understand, God's not deceived. He's not going to be mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. And he's talking about what? Well-doing. Doing good. God's promises. So here you are. You've made a mess of it. You're determined, and you've humbled yourself before God, and you say, I'm going to try to live the way God wants me to live, day in and day out. I'm going to, you know, build my relationship with him. And anyway, I'm going to do that. You will reap God's goodness. It's like you planted a whole bunch of bad seed, didn't you? And it's going to grow up, and it's going to bear its fruit. But what if you start sowing good seed and more and more and more over the years? Eventually, you don't even see the bad seed fruit anymore because you've got good seed. Okay? This is a wonderful promise to us. We'll humble ourselves and go his way, that he will give us the grace and we will reap the good things that go with living that way. So be encouraged. Don't be so overwhelmed that you feel like you got to give up. All right, let's look at verse 7. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. Okay? So what he's telling us here is to be a blessing to the people around you. These people, they found themselves in the middle of people who they probably would have considered their enemies. And they're living there. And God is saying, hey, interact with these people. Be a blessing to them. And he says this, that when you make their lives better, your life's going to be better. And when they have peace, it'll bring you peace. So this idea of be a blessing to the people around you, if you do this, it will change you into a better person. Because this will help you, instead of just focusing on, here I am in the middle of this mess, I got to deal with this stuff all the time, and because, is it really worth it? No, stop, wait a minute. Live the way the Lord wants you to, and then think, now how can I be a blessing to the people in my life? And you may have some new people in your life because of what's happened. Might be a probation officer. Be a blessing to your probation officer. Okay, and really, what you want to do is build some different kinds of friendships, because the relations that helped you get into your mess may need to go, right? And in the big picture, it may be that your right living now is going to affect a lot of people for a lot of generations, including your loved ones and your children, grandchildren. All right, let's read verses 8 and 9. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you. Okay, wait, so they had prophets there, also taken captive, and diviners, which they weren't supposed to have. That's people, you know, that's people who are spiritual but don't believe the scriptures. That's what a diviner is. And prophets. And so, but they weren't telling them the truth. They say, no, we're going to be out of here few weeks, hang in there. And God is saying, don't believe them. Don't listen to them. Verse 8 again, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. And then he says, for thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed. All right, so they're telling you, oh, this, don't just do this or do that. Or stop. God's, we're going to get out of here and, you know. You don't need to change anything. Everything's going to be fine. Don't listen to the voices that will lead you astray. You've got to choose not to. Because those voices are there. Whether you want them to be there or not. And here's the kind of voices they are. First of all, it might be your own voice. Right? In your own head, and you're thinking this, that, and the other thing, and it's not really lined up with what God says, but you go with what you're thinking instead of what, don't do that. You need to stop listening to that voice. You need to correct your own voice. Wait a minute, but God says. Wait a minute, God says. Wait a minute, I don't know what God says. I need to talk to somebody, right? Don't just believe the stuff that you tell yourself. Accusers' voices. There are people in your life, especially if you've messed up and caused problems for people, there will be accusers' voices who will hammer you. You know, I don't think I've ever told this story publicly before. When I became the pastor of this church, the senior pastor of this church, and it was actually before I was actually voted in, It was not a good situation where the former pastor was at and what was going on and difficulties. But somebody who I had respected very highly in life came to me and was an accuser's voice to me. But he said, you're not pastor material and you know it. I didn't think that much about it at the time. I go, whatever, right? I mean, there's... things were crazy anyway. But do you want to know what happened to me for a number of years? Every time I would be wondering, how should I do this? What needs to happen? What's going on? You're not pastor material. And you know it. God had to deliver me from that. Because that's hard. That was a voice. That was a voice that Satan used, right? From my memories to cause me to struggle and to doubt. So you got to stop listening to those voices. They're justifiers' voices. Well, really, you know, it wasn't that bad what you did. And there's the poor you voices, poor you, who will help you be a victim for the rest of your life, right? No, it did happen. I did it. Somebody else did this. That's all true. It is true. But by God's grace, that's not who I am anymore, and that's not the way I'm living anymore. Okay? So don't listen to the voices. Listen to and draw close to the voices that align with what God says. When you're hearing from people what God says, that's who the people you want to align to. I already said you may have to stop some relationships. You need to start some. Hang with these people. Pursue relationships that are good for them as well as for you. And certainly we want to start with the church. And if you're here today hearing this, you're in the right place. Okay? Because I think probably, unless you're brand new to us and you don't really understand what we're talking about, everybody here gets it. They know, understand what it's like to be where you are. Not the specifics, but they know what it's like to mess up and be trying to figure out how do I go forward here? How do I grow forward here? You know, when Jesus left, he replaced himself. When he was here on earth, he replaced himself. A couple weeks ago, we talked about one of those, right? Okay, he replaced himself with three things: the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the people of God. And it's these places that you need to be connected. You need to be connected to the Spirit of God so that he can, you can hear his voice. And how do you know if it's his voice or your voice? Well, the idea is if it lines up with the Bible, it doesn't matter whether it was his or yours, right? But he can speak to you, and it lines up with the Bible, always will. And so the Word of God, we get in the Word of God, and what God says there is always true. We can always count on it. And then the people of God, who are not perfect, they don't always get it right, but when the people of God love you, care about you, and they're trying to help you, and they're going to talk about things that the Word of God says are true, right? And if they're missing that, go with what God says. Because sometimes Christians, we're well-intentioned and we just say stupid things, okay? But mostly that's not the case. All right, verses 10 and 11. These are the verses we always like. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years, wait a minute, I don't know if I like that part. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place where Jeremiah is writing from. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. First of all, can you believe that God is thinking about you? You're in God's thoughts? Wow. What an amazing thing. You need to believe what God says about his plans for you. Believe what God says about his plans for you, even when you can't see it. I can't see it. I don't know what it is. If you don't know what it is right now, and you want to, and you've tried, and you don't know what it is, you know what? You don't need to know what it is. The secret things belong to whom? God. And the things we do know, that's our business to work on. And so many things will try to rob you of hope. They will, all right? And you need hope. You need hope when things are going well. You really need it when things aren't going so well. You need hope. And God says you should have hope because I'm working in your life. I know you can't see it right now, but I am working in your life. So, I got a couple of things I want you to say with me out loud today. And the first one is this. He has plans for me. Okay, can you say that with me? He has plans for me. And don't say, remember it. Believe it. Remind yourself of it. Okay? All right, and then there's three sentences, but they're all the same. Okay, so let's go through. God is working in my life, okay? But there's three different emphases here. When you see the capital letters, we're going to emphasize that. Let's say these three things together. Ready? God is working in my life. This is God. This is not my messed up neighbor. This is God. This is not that well-intentioned person who every time they try to help me hurts. This is God. God is working in my life. Let's say the second one. God is working in my life. He is. Right now, whether you can see it or not, he's working. He's conforming you to the image of Christ, and he's working in your life to bring you to that place, okay? The third one, ready? God is working in my life. That one can make you cry. In my life. He's working in me. And my circumstances. Who am I that God should think upon me? But he does. All right, let's read the last verses here. Verse 12. It says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. And not that he isn't now. He's just talking about the way the relationship's going to be between them. You're going to talk. I'm going to listen. And you will seek me and find me. You know, times you say, where is God? And you aren't sure. But he says, no, when you get this right, you're going to find me. You'll know it. And when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I cause you to be carried away captive. And I guess my sense of this is that here's what we want to learn from this. You need to dig deep. Dig deep into your relationship with the Lord and find your meaning and purpose with Him. I'm going to seek Him with my whole heart. I'm going to talk with Him. I'm going to try to live the way He leads me to live. All this. God, I want to know You. And so you begin to discover it's not about what you're doing. It's not about how well you can do this. It's about the fact that you're drawing close to God and He's real in your life. I have a relationship with God. That's what it becomes about. And the idea is this, your prayers, you know, when we pray, because when we're in the mess, when do you really discover that you know how to pray? When the mess is happening. Oh boy. But what we're going to do is we're going to learn to win our prayer. And I read this as a quote from a hospital chaplain recently. And he said this, and I won't quote it exactly. But he says, prayer becomes no longer looking for a specific outcome, but holding hands with the one you love. That's pretty deep, isn't it? So prayer becomes this. Yeah, they're going to ask for things, but it's not so much about that. It's that you're spending time with God, this one who loves you more than you can even imagine. And it's worked in your life. And oh, God, I know You. I'm going to dig deep in this relationship with You. Okay, and so all of these things we've talked about today, and I'm sure the Lord has impressed different ones on you, maybe about your past, but maybe about stuff you're in now. These are how we grow forward with the Lord in the circumstances of life. Okay? And you can. And what stories we'll have. I got to think that sometimes people are already noticing in heaven some of your stories. It's a topic of conversation in heaven. And it's going to be glorious when we get there with Him. All right, next Sunday, we're going to talk about when you're scared. How do we grow forward in the circumstances of life when we're scared? Anybody ever been scared?
Yeah. I'm the man, I'm not scared.
Right. All right, so please, you can text your questions to that number that Sergey's going to put on the screen. And just let me see something real quick, if you don't mind. That shows I have a question, but it's not showing up yet. All right. So I will either answer the question, I'll either answer the question directly to you through text. I will, depending, I could make a YouTube video and post it on our Facebook stuff, or I might answer it next week or at some point, okay? So, but we will get your questions answered. All right. God bless you. Go have a great week living for the Lord. And if you need help, ask, please, okay? We'll start our Bible study in about 25 minutes.
Thank you.